Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. Hey, welcome once again, because our subject is so important. Our subject is moral intelligence, knowing the difference between right and wrong, good and bad, good and evil, righteousness versus wickedness. But really important. Can you imagine going through life and having somewhere in the beginning moments of your life been so influenced by whoever that you no longer know the difference between right and wrong? That's why the scripture says, woe unto them that put good for evil and evil for good. But not you, my friends. We're here because we want to discover the benefits of moral intelligence. Moral intelligence affects every part of our life. And in fact, our subject today is how moral intelligence affects domestic intelligence. Domestic meaning family relationships. Okay, so here we go. Enjoy yourself, take some good notes, and let's learn together how important family relationships are, and they can only be done properly with moral intelligence. So here we go. The first thing we learn is that love is the most morally intelligent concept in the entire universe. That's why Jesus came along and he said, this is my commandment. Of all, I mean, there could be lots of commandments, but this is the big one. And that is that you love one another. And he didn't just tell us to love one another, but he gave us an example, and he said, to do it the same way that I have loved you. This is the big stuff. This philosophy of love is so important. It is the core of God's heart himself. For we learn from Scripture that God is love. There's nothing that God does, nothing proceeds, nothing he says, nothing he does that not come out of this core condition of love. And now, we get the chance to learn this ultimate philosophy of life, love. What is it? How do we live it? So let's look at a definition for it. Love is the unselfish choosing of another person's highest good without personal profit or benefit as a motive. It's choosing what's best for anyone else, everyone else for that matter, without asking what's in it for me. It's interesting. Let me give you this. In theological terms, we have two terms. One's called interested benevolence and one's called disinterested benevolence. Interested benevolence, you know, benevolence means love, right? Interested benevolence and disinterested. One of them is virtuous and one of them is not. It might surprise you to know that the virtuous choice is disinterested benevolence. It means I can choose benevolently for you without any interest in getting something out of the deal myself. Interested benevolence means I only love you and I only care for you and I only do it for you because it benefits me some way. If it doesn't benefit me, I'm not going to do it. This is contrary to the idea of genuine love, which, remember again, it is the unselfish choosing of another person's highest good without personal profit or benefit as a motive. Well, you can probably tell from that it's really going to affect family life. and so here's kind of a miniature of this is what happens in a family when love rules. It's an amazing effect on the domestic or family relationships. It is the only way to have an intelligent family relationship. Well, of course, I've already said to you that love is this moral intelligence. And if love is in the family, which is the moral intelligent factor, then the family is going to be intelligently put together. So how is this true? So let's just do as brief as we can. I'm not very good at that, but love suffers. We learn these attributes of love from the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. So what's so intelligent about that? It's the ability to put up with stuff, tolerate certain things. It means it's capable of maintaining affection in spite of not getting something back out of the deal. In fact, it suffers long. And look at this. It suffers long and is kind. What does that mean? It means it's kind back to the very person who's causing the suffering. And that's exactly what God is like. Isn't it? Well, he is kind even unto the ungrateful and the unthankful, according to Scripture. Love doesn't envy. And that's intelligently moral. Why? It means it's not jealous over the success of someone else. Yeah. It's capable of rejoicing with those who rejoice without wanting what's theirs. Love does not parade itself. It doesn't show off. It condescends, but it's not condescending. It's not pompous. Not puffed up. I guess that's another way for not pompous or glory be to me. In fact, it has good manners. Love does not behave itself rudely. It has good manners. Let's not get too fast here. Can you understand how intelligent it is to have good manners? Can you imagine how unintelligent it is to be rude to people? Like, you think that's going to get you somewhere? You think that's going to profit them? No, my friends. This love thing is so important. It does not behave rudely towards anybody. It's not after its own stuff. Like I mentioned earlier, the disinterested benevolent. It's not about me. It's about, what can I do? It's not selfish. In fact, the opposite to love is selfishness. Narcissism, that's what it is. The opposite to love. Because in the narcissist, it's everything about me. When love, it seeks the good of another person. Love is not easily provoked. Like it doesn't get aggravated, angered, and upset. It's hard to offend love. It's not provoked. Doesn't conjure up evil, ever. Doesn't think evil about people. And when he hits an evil report, he has learned the discipline of not receiving evil reports about people. Unverified slander, and it abounds on social media. Everywhere you look, the newspapers, the publications, the shows on television, the news. Pastors, all about evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity. We should have spent some time on that, but I have a book coming out that addresses that. It's called How You See Yourself, so watch for it. It really likes the truth. It rejoices in the truth. That's what love is like. In fact, it bears all things. It believes everything good it can possibly believe. It has faith. Doesn't base its opinion on what you are, but what you can become. It has faith for you. Yeah. It lives in hope. Hopes all things, and it endures all things. If someone quits loving, it's proof they never did. If someone stops being your friend, he never was. Because a friend loveth at all times. Don't you see that, right? Now here it is. It never fails. No matter what the issues are. Love is the most intelligent, morally intelligent choice anyone can ever make. And so that's why Jesus put it this way. It's my commandment. Love one another. And then he showed us how to do it just the way. Just the way I have loved you. Now, remember, our subject today is how moral intelligence affects domestic or family relationships. And can the family function intelligently? And it can only with moral intelligence. Okay? So let's go to some of the details of that. Love is morally intelligent in marriage. Husbands, love your wives. That's a very intelligent thing to do, and it's the moral thing to do. Now let's take a look. Again, an analogy here. Your husband is to love your wife, just like Christ loved the church. And look at this. Gave himself for it. So you see, husbands do the same thing to their wife that Christ did. He gives himself for it. That's what it means. Husbands, love your wives. Look at this. And do not be bitter against them. Wow. The temptation here now is for me to spend a lot of time on this bitterness thing. It's an enemy. It'll ruin love. It opposes love. Husbands, love your wives, and don't be bitter against them, because you see, love is capable of forgiving. Husbands, love your wives. That's an intelligent choice for marriage. Here's why it's intelligent. Let's talk about what's so intelligent about loving your husband. Husbands loving their wives. Watch this now. The first thing is that when a man loves his wife will be able to respect and respond to him properly. I can't imagine a woman not responding to love when she knows it, sees it, lives with it. So, how intelligent is love in a marriage? And if the husband loves his wife will be able to respect him and respond properly to him. But not only that, but sons will learn how to properly treat their wives when they marry. So here is a husband that loves his wife, and here's a son that observes it. And that's how that son will learn how he ought to treat women, other women, and especially his wife. But it doesn't end there. It's also intelligent because if a husband loves his wife, a father loves the mother, daughters will learn how they should be treated by their husbands. Daughters will learn how they should be treated by men, period. And of course, their husbands. That's why I want you to see this diagram. Because whatever shines through a man's heart reaches the heart of his daughter. In fact, I'm going to do something I never do. I don't like to leave the screen. I'm going to leave the screen because I want you to see this. I want you to see this picture really up close. Whatever shines through a husband's father's heart reaches his daughter. I wanted you to see this diagram, this illustration, because it's so fundamentally true. And that's why husband should love his wife. It affects the children, it affects the sons, it affects the daughters. Love is morally intelligent in marriage. Not only that, but it affects love from the mother, who was taught to teach the younger women to be sober. Look at this. To love their husbands and to love their children. Now we're talking about how moral intelligence, encapsulated in this phrase of Scripture, is now going to affect children. It is affecting the domestic. It's affecting the family because we're learning to love, the mother's learning to love her husband and to love children. And so that same woman should become discreet. She should be chaste. Keepers of the home. She should be good. She could be obedient to her own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Wow. Because that's teaching her daughter how to respond to her husband. Now, the children are really important. If this love thing is love to the father, from the husband to the wife, and the wife to the husband, and the mother to the children, but it's also the father to the children. In fact, look at this scripture. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up. Oh, we thought that was mom's job, didn't we? But bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I want to put a definition of the word nurture in there. It means to carefully foster, to cultivate, or to be encouraging. Normally, mothers don't need to learn how to do that. They do it automatically. Men need to be told, you fathers, don't provoke your children. But bring them up in a nourishing manner. And in the admonitions of the Lord, teach them the right stuff from God, because He is love, right? You know, a football player, whatever. When they get on camera, they always say, hi, Mom. not too many of them saying, hi, Dad. But you know what? The Scripture teaches that the glory of the children is their father. Children need to be able to boast about their father, right? So, moral intelligence is the husband to the wife, the father to the mother, the wife to the husband, and the mother to the father. And this affects the children. And now, if the children will become morally intelligent, this also contributes to the domestic intelligence. Here it is. Honor your father and honor your mother. Now, watch this, because I want you to see the intelligence of this and the benefits of the intelligence. Watch it now. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment. It's got a promise attached to it, that if you do this, something pretty wonderful is going to happen. And what is that? Look at this. Number one, it will be well with thee. If you can make it work at home, it's going to work everywhere. If you can't make it work at home, it probably isn't going to work elsewhere either. I mean, after all, that father and mother gave you a free room and board for 18 years or so, didn't they? I know some of you are still there. They gave a lot. To be dishonoring to those who have been so blessing to us creates a condition, a mental, emotional, spiritual condition that causes failure. And that's why the Scripture comes to say, it will be well with you. And look what else happens. When you honor your father and your mother, this is the intelligent, morally intelligent thing to do. You live long. Live long. What does that mean? It simply means you're going to have less sickness and disease than you otherwise would have. In contrast to that, anyone who curses the father or their mother his lamp. And whenever the Bible talks about your lamp, it's talking about your ability to influence others. Shall be put out in the obscure darkness. It won't work. The consequences of lacking moral intelligence in a domestic family situation. It's drastic. It's drastic. It is horrible. Lose your influence. Obscure darkness. It's not that you lose a little bit of influence, you lose a whole lot. Can I tell you? And I hope somebody has already made this known to you, but they have. You need to know this. That if you curse your father and mother, the putting out of your lamp into obscure darkness will probably start with your own children. They won't. I mean, look at God designed the family to be the classroom. It's where life lessons are learned. And the shocking thing is that kids don't do what we say, they do what we do. And they're so close to us, 24/7 almost, they hear and see and observe and they collect information. They know what's going on. You can't kid them. So you want to really be careful. Again, in contrast with this, the father of the morally intelligent children, now we're talking about, they shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Oh, watch this now. The father and the mother shall be glad. And she that bare thee, that's the mother, she's going to rejoice. You see, this is all part of this whole idea of how moral, functioning morally intelligent affects the family. By the husband, by the wife, by the father, by the mother, toward the children, from the children. In fact, it happens from child to child, because there has to be peace in the whole family. And so, while it's true that a friend loveth at all times, because a brother is born for adversity. In other words, there's a purpose to the siblings you have. And one of the reasons they're there, they're going to be there for you, is a bonding place. Now, this only happens where there is a domestic or family intelligence that was derived from moral intelligence, knowing what's right from wrong. Okay. So that brother is always going to be there for you. Here's a translation of it. A brother is born to help in time of need. There are good reasons why the moral intelligence of the children towards one another in the family is vitally important. It's because, well, let me give you another scripture on this. Families stick together in all kinds of trouble. You know, if you don't stick together with the family, who will you stick together with? Now, we've got a story in the Bible. I just want to mention one main line. Really. The story of Cain and Abel, two brothers. And Cain and his brother fought so bad, Cain ended up killing Abel. First murder in the Bible. And so God has to deal with Cain and says, Cain, where's your brother? Where is Abel, your brother? Where is he? And Abel answered and said, I don't know. And he said, am I my brother's keeper? There's the question. Am I my brother's keeper? The answer is yes. We should be watching out for one another. It is the morally intelligent thing to do. And so God said, what have you done? I don't want you to miss this next phrase. The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. I don't want you to miss this truth. When siblings don't treat each other right, and you may not kill one another physically, literally, but you know what the scripture says? Listen to Jesus for a moment. He says, you've heard it said, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, he that hates his brother or his sister is a murderer already in his heart. Got the same heart condition as the killer. Just hadn't done the killing yet, but the heart's the same. It's difficult for me to talk about this because the statistics are so frightening. 42% of fathers aren't even in the home, physically even there. And what about the condition of the other 58%? Are they loving their wives like Christ loved the church, giving themselves for them? Are they setting an example to the sons and the daughters? We're in big trouble in this culture. All the shenanigans that are destroying families right now are the result of a lack of moral intelligence. It is a foolishness and stupidity. It is obnoxious. I guess the biblical word would be it's like an abomination. So let's leave there for a moment and let's go on to extend a bit farther about how moral intelligence affects husband and wife, father, mother, children, children. But also it affects the extended members of the family. There are people who are close or attached. So this scripture comes now and says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Whoa. So they may not be in the immediate family, but they may be a cousin, uncle, whatever, or they may not have a blood association. But the relationship, if it's intelligent, if it's morally intelligent, look at this. And that's why we're instructed, thine own friend. It reaches to our friends. And look at this. This is really interesting. And thy father's friend, forsake not. Stick with your father and your father's friend and your friends, because this also is the moral, intelligent thing to do. It reaches to grandchildren. Now, let's take a look at one of those scriptures, right? Thou shalt be near unto me, thou. Look at this. Let's slow down. Near unto me. Can I talk about that just for a moment? Because near unto me doesn't necessarily mean a geographic. I've known people near to each other who could be miles apart. You can sit on the bus next to a whole bunch of strangers. There's no nearness at all. The train, the crowded, whatever. Nearness is a mental, emotional, and spiritual condition. So what God wants in the family is nearness. So thou shalt be near unto me, you, and your children, and your children's children. Nearness between you, if you're the person here now, and your children, and their children's children. So you see, this love thing isn't just centralized in one small group. It extends to all the family. Now I want to take it one step farther. And this idea is, and we sing about this in churches, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Aren't you glad I'm speaking and not singing to you? Because love is morally intelligent in the church family. Closeness to those fellow followers. I'm talking authentic followers now. Because you have purified your soul. That has to do with getting morally intelligent. Watch the next thing, because it tells you, this is a part of how you get to be morally intelligent. You obey the truth. And if you need help, the Spirit is there to help you. And what does all this produce? It produces unfeigned love. Uh-oh. No fake love here. No pretended. No being able to show love without loving. Look at this now. So that you will have no treachery, no trickery, no pretension, no fake love, but unfeigned love of the brethren. Because this has to do now, with being connected to fellow followers on the road to eternal life. They've become brothers and sisters. There's a song. We call it Brothers and Sisters around here. Because they are. You are a brother in the Lord. Because why? What makes two men who aren't blood related now brothers? Simple. If each of them is connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, if each of them is connected to God, they have a connection stronger than blood. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the scripture now. Through the Spirit unto unfeigned love, see that you love, but love the brother. And see that you love one another. Now watch it now. Because this part of moral intelligence, that's called love, is not cold and academic. It's rather, look at this, this pure in this motive, and look at this. It's fervent, like I mean, really fervent. And so we've come to the end of this time together. And it's my hope, my prayer, that you will understand better the moral intelligence factor that makes family intelligent. I wish that, I pray that for you and for your family.